Let's cover as much ground as we can. Botanical medicines, they're cost effective. They encourage taking responsibility for your own health. You can grow them or you can gather them. And I like to do both. Become confident that those that you know you can use and they will be effective. If you were to find a blueberry bush growing in the wild, you wouldn't object to pulling the blueberries from it and eating those and expecting that you would get a certain amount of nourishment from it. It's the same thing with an herb. These are more like foods. They are not like medicines at all. And so they're nutritive value and not the sort of thing that we expect from herbs. They're incredibly safe, and I repeat that because we feel perfectly confident to go down to the corner drugstore and buy something that can kill you, and yet we feel anxiety about taking an herb, and it just doesn't make good sense, does it? We feel perfectly confident to get anything that's on the drugstore shelf and take it until it kills us, and we don't even have any sense of danger about it, but I have a sense of danger about all pharmaceuticals. I don't feel that we should be careless about herbs, because, and especially if you go out and you're gathering your own, it's just like gathering mushrooms. I do not gather mushrooms because I don't know mushrooms. And so if I don't know a mushroom, I'm not going to gather it. Same with herbs. If I don't know the herb, I'm not going to gather it. But if I buy the seeds and I plant it myself in my garden, then I can feel confident that I've got a good herb. Can I use it and expect a medicinal effect? And the answer is yes, I can. Take it right out of my own garden, and I'd like to show you some that I did. Took right out of my own garden, and or they came from Yuchi Pines. And this is catnip. It came from the greenhouse at Yuchi Pines. And here is red clover. This came from Yuchi Pines. This is white clover. Also came from Yuchi Pines. And these are papaya seeds. And these were gathered for me from someone who had papaya for breakfast this morning and saved the seed for me. What do we use papaya seed for? Malaria. Malaria. There are some other uses, but go to any area that has malaria as an endemic disease, go prepared with papaya. If you cannot get the seeds, then get the leaves. A six-inch square of a leaf, of a fresh leaf, simmered in water, taken daily, will prevent malaria. Now that's on good authority. I have never been in a malaria-infested area, but I have that on a good authority from people who have been. Now, there are many things. Sorry? You simply eat it. Eat the seeds. Now, if you've ever eaten a papaya seed, it's a little peppery. It will not become your favorite seed. But a dozen seed, they say, those who live in malaria areas, they say that a dozen seeds a day will keep you from getting malaria, and four times a day will treat malaria. So I would certainly go with that. This is clay. Now, this did not come from Yuchi Pines. The clay that comes from Yuchi Pines is red. Now, you have to dig down under the sand, and you don't find clay everywhere, but you can run into veins of clay, and when you do, you will need a coal pick to dig it up if it's dry, because it is really mean to dig up. Clay can be used in any way that you use charcoal. Any way you use charcoal, you can use clay. Now, this is a salve which was made by a friend of mine for me. And I don't usually talk about my own afflictions, but for the last month I've had a case of the hives. And we have no idea what I'm sensitive to, but I just keep on breaking out with these hives. And so I get this around my neck, and so I put a moisturizing salve on it. And my friend makes this for me, Janitza Dinsmore. She's a Cuban lady. And she knows a lot about herbs. And she made this herbal salve for me. It's made of a burdock and nettles. Nettles is excellent for hives, for any kind of allergy. If you have an allergy, always think nettles. And this has also tea tree oil in it and some other things. And so we use this for the hives. The leaves, so you cannot gather this without gloves on. And I would gather it with both rubber gloves and maybe some other gloves on top of the rubber gloves to make sure that you don't get a problem with a nettle. Now, yes.
Since you have to gather it that way, it doesn't bother your skin much. In like, what do you mean, like Vaseline or what?
This was made, this was a water extract, I believe. No, it was an oil extract. She put the leaves, the dried leaves, in a crock pot, covered it with oil, sort of packed it down a little bit and covered it with oil, and heated it gently for 2.5 hours, and then strained it and used the extract, the oil extract, in this remedy. Now she also used a cocoa butter base or coconut oil base, and some other things. And I don't have the exact formula, but if anybody wants it, it's very good also for the eczema, and so it can be used for that. Now yesterday, Melanie Blythe gave me a little package of salve like this. And I don't know the formula for it either, but when she heard that I had the hives yesterday, she brought me a little sample of this homemade salve. And the only thing I know that's in it is, I believe she said camphor, and I think menthol. Yeah, or mint. Menthol or mint is in this also. And it is very good. I tried this on my hives and it really did well. It was very good. So you might see Melanie and see if you can get that. If it, you know, I didn't mean for you to have to work on that mechanically during the class. You're welcome to do so, but now here's another thing that's good for the eczema. Melanie says this is good for the eczema. This salve that she makes homemade with a menthol and camphor. I believe she said camphor. Castor oil is very good to rub on the skin for all sorts of afflictions, especially eczema, for infantile eczema. Infantile eczema, you always hope when somebody is going to ask you how to treat infantile eczema, you always hope that the child is about 23 or 24 months old. Because the mother will usually tell you, well, I have been to 18 doctors for my son with the infantile eczema, and they've done this and they've done that, and he's not any better. And if he's 22 or 23 months old, and you tell her, well, do this, and she does that and it cures him. But if you didn't do anything, he would have been cured too, because he's usually going to get well at about 24 months of age. So you always hope you come there and not one of the first ones where you're not going to be successful. It's just a castor. It's from the castor bean. It's an oil from the castor bean. And you're familiar with this. When I was a child, this was the spring tonic. Ooh. And it does not taste good, but it is good for the skin. Yes, it works on vasculitis. It will also increase the T cell content of tissue. If you put a compress down, thank you so much. If you put a compress on something, anything, a tennis elbow, a carpal tunnel syndrome, a trigger finger. If you put it here, it will help the person get so that their trigger finger is cured. It increases the number of T cells under the skin where it is used as a compress. The way to make it as a compress is to simply take a piece of cloth and saturate it with wet it with the castor oil and put it on whatever you're putting it on, an eczema, an arthritis, a carpal tunnel. You know, I've not used it for psoriasis. It probably would do well for psoriasis. Then you just put it on the place you're going to treat. I cover it with a plastic bag if I can. If it's on a part, I cover it with a plastic bag. Then let the person wear it all night. Then the next morning you simply wipe it off, put it aside. You don't have to throw it away. You can use it again because it lasts for days. Yes?
It's amazing that they found that works when the castor seeds are killed from a man.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And that it works and that it will not kill you if you swallow the oil from it. You can take 2 tablespoonsful. In fact, we regularly give 2 tablespoonsful to women. Do you know what condition? To bring on labor.
Yeah.
Bring on labor. When I was in medical school, I was taught that by our OB professor. He said, if you have a lady who is not on time, you can give her a couple of tablespoonsful of castor oil and it will induce labor. And he is correct. We've done it several times. And it does not only stimulates bowel action, but also stimulates the activity of the nurses often do not like you very well if you do that because they will often have a patient who not only has a tumultuous labor, but also has diarrhea all over the OB department. And so they don't like you very well for that. But if she's in the home, that's a different matter. She can handle things herself. Okay, now let's continue here with this, and we'll. Here's another point that I want to bring to your attention, and that it is easy to learn how to use herbs. 20 years ago, I knew very little about how to use herbs. I simply began to talk with people like Phyllis Austin, who has co-authored several of our books, and Jim Duke, who is an expert in these things, and really scientifically minded. He is not at all. He will not tolerate anything that's just folklore as a reason for giving you an herb. However, he points out this, that herbs have been used for thousands of years. And if people have used them for a long time, you can feel pretty confident that what they're using it for, it works for. It's like the castor oil. I don't know how they learned that, but somebody learned it, and it began to be passed down. So, know another thing. One herb has many uses. And if a person has pain, and you don't have any white willow bark, and you don't have any meadow sweet, just go to your herb cabinet, look there and see, well, I've got sage. Let's see if sage would give some pain relief. And try it. It may work, but it may not work. And the very fact that you lovingly and kindly make a cup of tea and bring it to the person who is suffering and have a prayer with them and rub the place or whatever you can do will often help a person who is in pain. Do what you can for people who are in pain. And that, if that's just laying your hand on their shoulder, the laying on of hands will often just bring some kind of relief for them. So do what you can and know that one herb has many uses. It's the nutritive and not the pharmaceutical action. You can take many forms, make many forms in your own kitchen. Now, some anti-cancer herbs, blue violet, red clover, polyarco, chaparral, garlic, aloe vera, and what's that last one? Saw palmetto. Okay. Saw palmetto is When we say saw palmetto, we often think of something else. What is that? Prostate problems. And it is excellent for that. Most people do not think of menstrual problems, but menstrual cramps can also be helped by saw palmetto. Now, here are some more anti-cancer herbs, some that you will not, you'll think, oh, really? Like rosemary. Rosemary, many of you may be growing rosemary in your own flower garden. It's a pretty little herb. And pick it and put it in stews or if you make a pizza sandwich, put it on a pizza sandwich. It's just really good for a whole bunch of things. Chives. Coenzyme Q10. What is coenzyme Q10? It is also called ubiquinone. Ubiquitous is a word that means it's present everywhere. You can get CoQ10 in seals like this, the CoQ10 gels. And I like it for a lot of things. It does have some good anti-cancer uses. And there's a little capsule. If the person already is diagnosed with cancer, I would use from 400 to 800 milligrams per day. It's not inexpensive. This bottle of 60 soft gels costs $20, so they're not inexpensive. So if I were using a lot of it, I would get it in bulk. You can buy it in bulk from Belmar Pharmacy, which is an online or not online, but by telephone, Belmar Pharmacy, B-E-L-M-A-R. You might be able to find it online, but you have to have a prescription from anything that's a prescription drug. Gelatin, the bulk is. Mm-hmm. Okay, now notice another thing. Turmeric, good for many things. Anti-cancer, it's anti-inflammatory. If you have a gum boil or a tooth that's abscessed, get turmeric. Put a teaspoonful of it in warm water and do it a mouth swish many times a day, and that is helpful for a tooth abscess. If you're persistent with it, you can probably cure your tooth abscess. Sage also has many different uses. I like sage very much. Cumin. I like cumin very much. These are anti-cancer herbs. And while you may not want to use all of these or one of these in large quantities, just emphasize them in your diet and it will be helpful for you. Okay, some more anti-cancer herbs. Spanish peanuts with the red skins on, that's good. Contains OPCs or oligomeric procyanidins, which are good for hormone-dependent cancers and for endometriosis. Strawberry leaf, purslane. Get a respect for this little weed that grows in your garden. Gather it and put it in your salads.
Okay. Strawberry leaf.
Strawberry leaf, yes.
They are
anti-cancer. They also have some anti-inflammatory properties and some antibiotic properties. And just take a little handful of them, put them in a cup of water. And it's a five times the quantity of the green herb that you would use of the dry. So a teaspoonful per cup. And so this would be a good little handful.
And you heat the water?
Boil it and pour it on top of leaves. The rule for making herb teas is, if it is a leaf or a flower or petals, the hot water is poured on it. That's called an infusion. If you steep it, if you boil it or simmer it, it's called a decoction, and it should be simmered, never vigorously boiled. It might damage the active principle.
That's on roots?
Sorry?
Which one do you simmer?
The roots, stems, berries, whole plant. You'll find some things that are the whole plant, cut and sifted whole plant. Like echinacea is usually the cut and sifted whole plant. Okay, podiarco, chaparral, blue violet, red clover. Boil the first three ingredients these three. And then, after 30 minutes or 20 minutes, set it off the stove and add these leaves, and that will, or petals, and that will be your cancer treatment herb tea. One dose four times a day. For most things, it's one four times a day. And I'm sorry to have to move fast, but if you would like this program, if you will call Vilma Myers at UT Pines and tell her you'd like a CD, she'll send you a CD. She'll make a CD. Tell her exactly what you want, and she'll make a CD and send it to you. Now, glutathione. This is an antioxidant. It has prominent anti-aging properties. It helps with the production of milk in lactating women. And notice all these: purslane, asparagus, broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, potatoes, and tomatoes. By the way, most of these slides, I do read them so that you can get from American Christian Ministries the CDs that they are making, and just play it slowly. And you can get all these things from that, too. American Christian Ministry? These things? These are not. No, these are not. Sorry, we are. Have not been into herbs for a long time. One cup four times a day. Yeah, that's the standard dose for an herb, unless you read otherwise. Now, sorry? Now, you will find that a lot of things will tell you, like this natokinase that I mentioned to you. It's a soybean extract, and this natokinase says the serving size is 2 capsules, and it says to take 2 capsules a day. Well, it depends on how serious the case is for me, because you could take the whole thing and it's not going to make you bleed. So I would take, if I have an imminent clot that I would be expecting someone might have, then I would probably give it 2 capsules 4 times a day for 2 or 3 days, and then half it, 1 capsule 4 times a day for 2 or 3 days. Because most herbs, you do not have to worry about overdosing on them. They're not going to harm you in overdosage. Now, there are some things that will, like castor oil. If you take castor oil by mouth, you'll really wish you hadn't if you overdose on that. And same thing with Epsom salt. You'll be staying very close to the bathroom for a few days with those. So there are some things that you do need to know something about. So get a good herb book, and it will tell you, or a good book on these remedies. Fungus fighter. This is an acetract, or an extract made with vinegar. 2 cups of vinegar, 2 ounces of myrrh, 2 ounces of calendula. Calendula is a little flower, looks like a marigold. Some of you may be growing that in your own gardens. Mix it together in a quart jar. Stir it or shake it daily for 2 weeks. Strain and store it in a dark place. Now that's for fungus nail or fungus anywhere. Wet the toenail with 1 drop of brown liquid morning and night for 1 year. Yes, it takes a long time. The nail has to fully grow out normal. And until it does, you've still got the fungus in there, because these do not kill the fungus. They only inhibit the growth so that the nail will grow out normally, but you will have still the fungus growing in the part that has not fully grown out. Now, if it's a fungus fingernail, that's a different problem than fungus toenail. Fungus toenail is easy to treat. Fungus fingernail is not, because the fingernails are being constantly rubbed on something, which rubs the medicine off. Or you wash your hands, the medicine is gone. So in a seminar like this is the ideal time to treat a fungus fingernail. Get some of this nail medicine that I've just given you the formula and mix it with an equal quantity DMSO. Do I have that on there? Don't have the DMSO on there. So write that down. What is DMSO? Dimethyl sulfoxide. It is a veterinary medicine used for horses and horses that race that will often be able to be returned to the race even though they've had a joint injury if they put DMSO on it. It's been approved for these expensive race horses for decades, but the FDA has still not approved it for human use. Perfectly safe. No animal has ever had a problem with it. And the only problem with humans is that it gives you bad breath. It breath smells sort of like oysters, so they say. But it's, you put whatever amount you want to use for treating your fungus fingernail, put that in a little jar, like a cosmetic jar, and put an equal quantity, whatever you put in a little jar of the medicine, put an equal quantity of DMSO, which will keep the medicine on your nail for a longer period of time. And then while you're sitting around like this, you just dip your nail that's getting the fungus in it, dip your nail in it every hour or even every half an hour and just let it dry on your nail. And that will help you to get rid of it. Once a fungus has completely grown into a nail, that nail is infected forever unless you do something. So the time to treat it is when it's small. And I noticed on my nail the other day a little black streak right here, and I'm sure you can't see it, but on my thumbnail is a tiny little black streak, and that is the beginning of a fungus fingernail. And so I started treating it when it was just first saw it. It was down here a little way, and it's grown out now, and I don't expect it to infect my fingernail. Watch your nails and see when it's small, because you can handle it a lot better when it's small and often cure it when it takes over the nail. Maybe it will be much more difficult. But don't take the medicines that are given for fungus nail. Why? Well, you'll take a course of it, and then it comes back. What is it, 60 or 75% of the time it comes back. So you go back to the doctor. Doctor, I need some more of that medicine. Oh, I can't give you any more of that. Well, it's too toxic. And so I say, well, it's too toxic to begin with. You couldn't take it the second time, and shouldn't have taken it the first time either. So, question? Vinegar is excellent. That's why the extract from the herbs is made with vinegar, because the vinegar itself. So when I start treating a person with a fungus, I go ahead and start with the vinegar. And then when I've got the herbal formula made for them, then I give them that. But I've already been treating it with the vinegar. Yes.
What about iodine?
Iodine is also very helpful and will often cure a toenail. Yes.
Tea tree oil.
Tea tree oil, also very good. Yes. So there are many, and that's another thing. When you're treating a disease, there's not one thing that's the only thing that you're going to be able to treat with. If the person is sensitive to this or that, that's all right. Just select another thing for them.
So if I put tea tree on my fingernail or tea tree on my toe every night and every morning, that would help.
If you've got a fungus, yes, it will. Mm-hmm. But this is the best, this formula that we have just given you is the best thing we've found for it. Okay. Let's see, I've already told you all of that. Now let's go to red pepper extract, a cup of rubbing alcohol, and a half to one teaspoon of hot pepper powder from a grocery store, and put the ingredients in a pint jar. Stir it daily for a week, allow it to settle, and pour off the red extract and store in a dark place. And I told you the other day how to label it. What do you label it?
Poison.
Because it's made with rubbing alcohol. Now, you can get the ethyl alcohol. It costs a lot more than the rubbing alcohol and is not one bit better for this. But this will be quite adequate. Now, what do you use this for?
Pain
is for chronic pain, and especially senseless pain. like the pain in a plantar fasciitis on the foot. It's not something that's warning you that tissue is about to be damaged. It is just there. And tennis elbow, it's very good for that as well. Arthritis, it's often will help that very well. And you can make your own, or you can go down to the drugstore with, I think it's $35, and buy a little tube of Zostrix, which is the same thing. This will cost you 35 cents or less, and that will cost you $35. And it's still a red pepper extract. And there are other red pepper extracts that you can purchase that are not so expensive, but they don't have the Zostrix name. Z-O-S-T-R-I-X, Zostrix. It was first developed, for use with postherpetic neuralgia, that pain that comes on after shingles. And it's a senseless pain. You know, it's not a pain that's warning you about something. It's just a senseless pain. And so you can rub it on how many times a day? 6 times a day for 6 days. And then drop down to 2 times a day. Yes, do not touch the medicine with your fingers. You can't wash it off easily. So then it's in your nose, in your eyes, in your mouth. It's unpleasant. So use a cotton tip. This is some more on cayenne extract. Sedatives. Valerian, St. John's wort. I like St. John's wort very much as a sedative. These are for sleep. Now, what do we ordinarily think of St. John's wort in relation to?
Depression.
It is one of the best things that we have for depression. Now, you will hear it said that St. John's wort is not any good, that it's not any better than placebo. The Zoloft manufacturer publicizes the fact that they sponsored a research program that showed that St. John's wort was no better than placebo. What they neglect to tell you is that Zoloft is also not any better than placebo in that same study. And I look on that as being a sort of an intellectual dishonesty. Why did they not compare the two with each other and not with placebo? Yes.
I know a doctor, a psychiatrist did that. Uh-huh. He told me about that St. John's wort.
Uh-huh.
And he regularly asks me what I've learned.
Uh-huh.
And he writes it.
Uh-huh. That's good.
Because he says, you're out there as a nurse, you know, because I trust you, because you've done your homework, and he'll look at,
Yes.
And I say,
yes.
Yes. I bet you see.
Yes.
You respect my knowledge.
Yes. And I respect a doctor who will respect practical experience, too. And you know, it's not just do what I say and don't ask any questions.
Right, but I will respect him and be honest about the drug
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Okay. Now I call these sedatives, and it's true they are, but I use them principally for sleep. And while I like St. John's wort for depression, I really like it a lot for sleep. Take a double dose. 1 4 times a day is used for depression. But for sleep, 2 taken just before bedtime is the dosage. And it will often give you a full night of sleep and no hangovers. Now, if you take it at 3 o'clock in the morning, you will probably be a little more sedated and sleepy the next morning than you would like. Notice this, hops. And here is the active ingredient in it. Skullcap is also good. Catnip is very safe. We even use it for babies who have the colic, infantile colic. We use catnip for that, and it's very good. It's the nipatalactones that are good, and that's similar to valerian root as well. Mint, very good also for GI hypermobility, when the intestinal tract is too active, or the person is getting pain because of some kind of obstruction. We had a woman who came to Yuchi Pines with fairly far advanced cancer of the colon, and she would have griping pain in her colon because of partial obstruction from the cancer. And we gave her the mint oil. It was very good. It's also excellent for motion sickness. So if you're traveling and you tend to get motion sick, take some mint oil, which you can buy down at the grocery store, and that will give you something that is excellent to treat motion sickness with.
I get a peppermint plant in my house, so how can I use the plant?
Peppermint plant can be used. You can, if you're traveling, you can take it with you and simply chew on the leaves. And they're quite edible. You can put it in salads for nausea, and you can take it for motion sickness and just chew on the leaves. You can also make a mint tea. It's very nice. It gives a nice fragrance to your whole house when you make it in the evening.
Just get a handful and put it in the water.
Handful and put it in the water. Don't get too much and don't boil it too long. In fact, I wouldn't even boil it. I'd just steep it a little bit. When you're doing a beverage tea, you want something that's mild and not something that is heavy. So don't brew it mildly. No, you can use any kind of mint, including catnip. Catnip or cat mint, any kind. You can use bee balm, which is another mint. How do you know a mint has a square stem? That's how you can tell a mint. Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, very good for. In fact, what you should do is to give a child his own little mint bottle. Buy it from the grocery store. Then when they, when you're traveling and they get car sick, just give them a thing to wipe their hands with. Let them tip the bottle. Get the amount that will stay on the fingertip and lick it off. That's the dosage. I want to emphasize this point. Oils, essential oils, many of them are poisonous in large quantities if taken by mouth, such as, wintergreen. Wintergreen oil is poisonous. But we use a little bit in a massage oil to give a nice fragrance, and it also is soothing to the skin and cuts down on pain. Granddaughter gets car sick, and all you have to do is to get her own little and put her name on it and let her put that in her little purse as she's traveling. Okay, now another thing is lavender oil. This is an essential oil. You can dilute it with a light oil such as corn or sesame, and you can rub it on the skin. And if you have a problem with sleeping, just shake it a little bit on some of the bedclothes, or put it on a tissue or a cotton and pin it on the pillow, and it's just excellent for that. And besides, any kind of lavender. Mm-hmm. Lavender essential oil, not the fragrance oil. Fragrance oils are very nice. They smell good, but they don't have the headache-relieving property that lavender does, the sleep-inducing property that lavender does, or the anti-nausea. There are many good properties that lavender oil has.
Now, it says down there that lavender is diluted with such as corn or sesame.
Yes.
Why would you rub on the skin for this? You know?
Nice fragrance. And it's a good place to have it with you when you sleep. You can put it on your pillow, but it's a good place. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, lemon balm. That's one of my very favorite beverage teas, lemon balm. And the oil, also diluted and used as a lotion, can keep off. Does anybody know what? Keep off gnats and mosquitoes. That's right. It's an insect repellent. Now, what? No, don't drink it. You can rub it on your skin.
What's lemon balm?
Oh, lemon balm. Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I was thinking back to.
Well, with that in drinking, I don't know.
Yes, lemon balm, Melissa or citronella is our other names for lemon balm. And the lemon balm oil diluted and can be rubbed on the skin to keep as an insect repellent. And it's the terpenes that are in it that are the active agents. Passion flower, an excellent sedative. Chamomile, excellent sedative. Ginger, 11 different sedative compounds in ginger. So when a child is unable to sleep, get a little ginger root from the grocery store and take for a child, maybe a quarter of an inch of the root and steep it in a cup of water and give the child a little bit of it to drink, and it is often very sedative for them. Some other sedatives: basil, thyme, tangerines, tomatoes. Did you know tomatoes were sedative? 9 different sedative compounds in them. Cinnamon, spearmint, red pepper, pennyroyal, oranges. 8 different compounds that are sedative. Peppermint with 7. Linden has several. Hawthorn has several. Kava is a muscle relaxant also, as well as being a hypnotic. A hypnotic means that it brings on sleep. Women's herbs. We mentioned some of these yesterday. Red clover, black cohosh, red raspberry, damiana for dryness. Chaste tree, cramp bark, that's for dysmenorrhea or painful menstruation. Licorice root will help to regulate the periods and to regulate the hormones. Saw palmetto, good for women. Then herbs for menstrual cramps. These can be used as muscle relaxants also. Black haw, bilberry and blueberry. Angelica or dong quai. Red raspberry. OPCs, one OPC is pycnogenol, or oligomeric procyanidins. Ginger has 6 pain-relieving compounds and 6 muscle-relieving compounds and 11 sedative compounds. No wonder it's so commonly used in Asia as a medicinal agent. So there it has many different properties in it. I think for menstrual cramps, kava, red clover, squaw vine, all of those are good. Strawberry leaf for menstrual cramps. Yarrow, this can be used in the bathtub when she is soaking in a tub of hot water for menstrual cramps. The yarrow will give her a double blessing from that. Flax seed, also good for endometriosis. Flaxseed, 2 tablespoons full with each meal for 3 days, and then drop down to 2 tablespoons full once a day. That's ground. Freshly ground. Ground it, grind it freshly. Morning sickness herbs. Ginger is also excellent for nausea, for motion sickness. Good for women. It's very safe and good for women who have morning sickness in pregnancy. Black horehound, citrus, kiwi, pineapple, mint, ginger puree. All of these are good for morning sickness. Cabbage, peach tree leaves and the bark. Red raspberry leaf. All of these are very good. Men's herbs. All of these. Probably you will recognize black cohosh as being our prominent, our number one women's herb. But it's also very good as a men's herb. Licorice, good for as a men's herb for prostate problems, for any kind of for impotence, anything that has to do with men's problems. Licorice root is a hormone balancer. Kudzu root, good men's herb. Ginkgo, what do we usually use ginkgo for? Memory. Some doctors have published reports that say that ginkgo is not good for the memory. Don't believe a word of it. You give it for people who have a memory problem, and they will tell you that it does help their memory. And for me, it doesn't matter whether it's a placebo effect or whether it's some kind of medicinal effect. If it works, I say use it.
The drug companies tell the doctors that it's not good.
Ginseng, primrose oil, sage, wild yam, yohimbine. I have not used that, but it is reported to be good for prostate problems and even prostate cancer. So I probably, if I had prostate cancer, I were a man, I would use that too.
Will ginseng yes. also
help your memory? Ginseng is good for the memory. It will help to increase the circulation of blood to the brain. And that's the way that ginkgo works also. For erectile dysfunction, fava beans. Ginkgo, velvet beans, yohimbine, anise, cardamom. Now, we have not covered everything by any means, but I hope you have, and there's, you know, of course, no way. This book probably has, 300, 400 herbs in it that he discusses. And so I just recommend that you get yourself a good book and know that herbs are beneficial. Yes?
What about ringing in the ears?
Ringing in the ears. When somebody finds the remedy for ringing in the ears, please let me know. I have had ringing in the ears since I was a little girl. And you just sort of learn to ignore it. Now, let's say it bothers you at night. Then what can you do? Well, get some white noise and just cover it. That's about all you can do. Some people have noticed that head noises are related to food sensitivities. But that's a matter of individual investigation. You'd have to, if you think it might be a food, then you'd investigate the food. Yes, I think that's what caused mine, was aspirin when I was a child. Yeah, aspirin in childhood can make damage to the eighth cranial nerve, which can leave permanent ringing in the ears. Question? Then ears over here. Yes. Camp comfrey is good. Now let me tell you about comfrey. Comfrey has had some bad press in the last maybe 30 years. It is said to be hepatotoxic. That is, it damages the liver. And yes, in countries of the world where comfrey is used as as greens or used as a medicinal agent a lot, they do tend to have a good bit of liver problems, but in these same countries there are a lot of other toxins that could cause the liver problems. And so I'm not convinced that the comfrey is a problem. If I were wanting to take a healing herb for whatever, comfrey is a good one. And I would certainly not hesitate to take some by mouth, but certainly as a compress. Now, you will not believe, unless you have had experience, how good comfrey is as a compress. But for people who have acute pain, like an acute pain from an injury, if you will make a comfrey compress and put it on the place where they have the pain, they will get relief in minutes. Works faster than medications by mouth. It is so easy. You simply take a leaf, and that's not what I have here. I have something like parsley here, but I would just chop it some and crush it a little bit and mix it with a little water and roll it out on a paper towel. put that on the place, cover it with a kitchen plastic, as we showed you how to make the plastic, the poultices the other day. Cover it with that, and then bind it on with a bandage of some kind and let it stay. That's the way to use it.
When I was working in my barn, I got some iron.
Uh-huh.
And I had to leave and push it and put it on it.
Uh-huh.
And almost immediately it stopped.
Yes. It is unbelievable. And if I had not had the experience myself, I would not believe it either. But I had a big flap injury on my leg from an automobile accident, had a lot of pain in it. And a little German nurse this was 40 years ago, and I didn't know anything about herbs. I didn't have any confidence in herbs. And she made a nice little poultice for me, and she said, "Doctor, would you like me to put this on?" I was too weak to resist, so I said yes. So she put it on, and I am not exaggerating when I say that in less than 10 minutes I was asleep, and I had spent a whole night with just so much pain I couldn't sleep. Yes?
My grandson was fishing in a pond, and he caught a catfish.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Gordon.
And he was really in pain with that.
Yes.
And I immediately seek some comfort.
Yes.
And
this is for
him.
Catfish goring.
It never did work.
And comfrey tea. And put his hand in the water and it from the comfrey tea. And
even
it
with a
helps a sprained ankle as well. Yes. No. Yes. Uh-huh.
And they got way too many apples that they couldn't use, and I was forced to make a sign for it on the spot.
Yes.
The elementary school right there
are free. All right. Very good. And I want to tell you about apples, and I brought one to tell you about, and I was about to forget it. If you will cut an apple for a child who has nausea, cut an apple, and take a spoon, this is even for a newborn, and just scrape it with a teaspoon, and give that by mouth. It's very good for nausea and vomiting. It ties up toxic substances. It's as good as charcoal with that. It also has pectin in it, apple pectin, and that would make it good for diarrhea as well. Okay, now we have a few minutes that you can ask questions, about 3 or 4 minutes, and then, as I've already announced, I will need to leave promptly. Yes? Yes, yes. Let me tell you, it's actually a program. The number one thing is that you want to have a high fiber diet. And apple pectin is very good for that, or any kind of pectin. Another very good source of pectin is carob. Carob can be used as an anti-nausea or anti-diarrheic medicine. Very good. Just mix some of the powder with water and drink it down. Yes?
I want to make sure I get this right, because this is a real problem. 2 ounces of vinegar, 2 ounces of gandula, and 2 ounces of rosemary. You mix those up, and you put it on your toast.
Mix it up. Let it set. You just put the vinegar extract. You let it set together for 2 weeks. This is to make the fungus fighter. Let it set together for 2 weeks, but from the first day, you can start putting the vinegar on your toenail. Now, how do you do it? When you're treating a fungus with a fungus fighter, a calendula, myrrh, and vinegar, you simply dip your finger in it, or you get one of these little dropper bottles that will give you just a little drop, and just put a little drop, smear it on. That's the day's dose. Put your socks on, go about the day. Take your socks off at night, another dose, and go to bed.
Would you really use your fingertips?
You can. Not really, and besides, it's on your toe. Oh, you mean from one nail to another? No, the fungus is everywhere. The problem is with your nail. If you wear plastic shoes that are tight, or if you let your toenails get too long, it will press the blood out of your toenail against your socks or your shoes. and make it so that your nail has less resistance to infection, and then the fungus can infect you. Yes?
The first thing has the fungus will be in a milder fingernail than it told. They cook it. Can they pass that on to cooking
food? Can the fungus be passed on?
Yes.
Unlikely. Unlikely, because the fungus is everywhere already. And so it's the weakness of the person. Yes? Yes, a Dremel. I mentioned to you the other day about a Dremel, and that you can use it to file nails. And I have a 93-year-old friend who gets nails that are half an inch thick. And, of course, they get to be so thick that she can't walk, because her toenails are so thick. So just take a Dremel and just slow speed. You know what a Dremel is. It's one of these little tools that carpenters, that cabinet makers use to do little edging and fine work. And you just file it off for her. And it's very good. And when you've got a fungus toenail, if you'll file it off and then put the medicine on, it's more effective. For a staph infection? Absolutely. And for MRSA, methicillin-resistant staph infections, don't roll over and play dead. You fight it. Hit it. And you can work with it. You work with it with the herbs. You do hydrotherapy. You do sunning. If it's in a wound, you put honey on it to inhibit the growth. You can work with MRSA. You can fight it. The antimicrobial herbs, and just go online, look up antimicrobial herbs. You'll find a bunch of them in this Duke book, such things as golden seal, echinacea, garlic. Garlic is very good as an antimicrobial. We have found it to be as good as many of the antibiotics. And for some things like shigella, or salmonella, which are serious infections of the colon, garlic is without a peer. If they can take a lot of garlic, they can get a very good result. And I am so sorry, but our time is up. I'd like to have a prayer with you, and then I must gather my things and try to leave. Let's pray. Would you like to stand with me, and let's bow reverently and ask the Lord for His special blessing. Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that we have such an armamentarium of remedies that can be used for just almost anything that one could mention. Help us, Father, to be more interested in what You have provided, and to be willing and knowledgeable about how to use these things. And help us to continue to investigate for such incurable diseases as arthritis and cancer and some of the emotional problems. Father, we pray that we might be more willing, more appreciative of what You have provided, so that we can get Your full blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.